But it's a pleasure to be here to share something that the Lord's put on my heart for about a month. I actually had another one. I forget what it was called. Something about joy. I was like, you know what? That would be a good one to start, you know, a good year with. And then we went on vacation, and right before that, the Lord kind of started downloading some nuggets. And I was like, okay, so I'm thinking you're wanting me to change my message. And sure enough, we did. And this is where we arrived to. Don't pick out the M&Ms, and we'll get there in a minute. So, but before we start, let's go ahead and pray. Lord Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity to share your word. Father, something that I don't take lightly, and I don't want to take it for granted. So thank you for this opportunity to share what you've put on my heart. Lord God, I pray that you allow your Holy Spirit to speak through me to cut out anything I need to cut out and add whatever you want to add, Lord God. So my hands are open to whatever you want to do in the service, Lord Jesus. And I just pray that you give us ears to hear. Help us, Lord Father, to not tune out because we think we got it together already. But that we allow your word to minister to us and to work through us and help us to have that curious mind of what can I do with this, Lord. So I thank you and I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Sweet. So today's August 31st. Crazy, right? Tomorrow is September. But how many did you guys know that today is National Trail Mix Day? Isn't that awesome? Trail mix is an awesome little thing to have if you go kayaking or if you go hiking or whatever adventure you're going to do. It's a great snack to have when you need that extra energy boost, right? Something that we could take with us so that way we don't become hangry. How many of you guys get hangry? I get hangry very easily, so I usually carry two of these just in case. But as I do, I love the stuff that it gives you, the sweet, the salty, and, you know, the nuts. I didn't like nuts before, but then I started kind of liking them. So now I actually eat the whole thing. So I enjoy them. And it's just something about being able just to walk and talk and eat and whatnot, right? But do you know that there's some people who pick out their trail mix? Is that you, right? So unlike Pastor Scott, as he's probably watching online right now, is, you know, he talks about himself, you know, kind of like how he screws up or whatever, right? I don't like to do that because that's too revealing and makes me feel uncomfortable. So I'm going to talk about Kristen, right? So Kristen, she already knew I was going to talk about her, so I just didn't tell her what I was going to say. But Kristen, what she does is she gets the M&Ms, right? And she doesn't like some of the stuff that it has. She doesn't like raisins. She doesn't like the cashews. She doesn't like all these other ingredients that are on here, like the almonds as the other one. She doesn't like those things, right? So what she ends up doing is she ends up picking out the M&Ms, right? And she eats them all. And then she'll pick up the peanuts. She likes peanuts, right? And then when she's done, what she does, she goes, here, you want the rest? Yeah. And she leaves me with all the stuff that I'm not very thrilled about, but I still eat them because I'm a good husband and I don't want food go to waste. So I eat it. But how rude is that, right? She picks out all the good stuff and leaves me just with this right here. So for a National Trail Mix Day, who wants trail mix? All right, in the back? All right. Nice. Okay, good catch. I'm a baseball coach, too, so you actually have some promise there, so good job. Didn't hit you in the face, so that's good. All right, but as I started thinking about the M&Ms, right, is that we get to go through it, we get to choose, we get to get what we want, we get to enjoy a snack as we're going throughout our day. And then I started thinking about trail mix in a sense of the Word of God, right? We do the same thing intentionally or unintentionally, the same thing with the Word of God. You know, we get the Word and we read it, and there's some passages that really, you know, that's right, God, you got it, right? But then there's other passages that you go, you know what? I don't really agree with that. You know, I don't like to eat, you know, what you're giving me here, and I don't like what that sounds, and that's a little bit too convicting for me. And that's something that, you know, that's from in that day. It's not for today. This one right here. Oh, I love this one right here. That's the one. That's a good one. But this one right here, you know, I don't want to be convicted, you know, because I want to live a good life, and I want to live how I want to live, right? So I'm not going to eat that one. And we continue. Oh, that went down the wrong way. Well, we continue to do that, right? Intentionally or unintentionally, we kind of do it in one way or another. And you might even realize it or not, but there are some things that we kind of naturally veer towards, right? And those are things that makes us feel good, things that makes us appreciate God and how great he is. But then God also gives us a word that drills down deep into your soul, right? And you're going, oh, I don't like that. And that's something that I want to put away. But there's a difference there, right? It's kind of like a weird illustration. I get it. But is how trail mix and the word are kind of the same, right? So, but unlike trail mix, where we get to pick and choose, God's telling us, you know what? You can't do that. What is in here, you need to pick all of it. You need to follow. You need to understand. You need to read it and accept everything that the Lord's given us. Right? So in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, it says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Complete, equipped for every good work. So it's not just about picking up the good stuff. It's the stuff that convicts us, the stuff that challenges us, the stuff that makes us go, I don't think so. Those are the things that also strengthen our faith, right? So these verses emphasize the importance of following the complete word of God. Not going and say, you know what, I like this verse, or I'm going to highlight this verse, but I don't want this other one. Is that God's word is an active word. Do you know what that means? It means that no matter when you read it or how you read it, it's always going to speak to you differently. It's alive. It's active. Wherever your heart is, whatever you're struggling with, you can read a verse 5 or 6 times. It's going to talk to you differently. And that's what it's all about, is that God wants us to live a life that's righteous to him, so that we can please God through how we live our lives. And that only happens when we read God's word. In Deuteronomy 4:2, it says, do not add or subtract from these commands I'm giving you. Just obey the commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you. So what does that say to you? Just obey. Don't pick and choose. Don't pick out the M&Ms. But read the whole thing. Allow the nuts to sink in. Allow the cashews and the almonds to do their work of adding protein, of adding that extra oomph that you need to get that energy, right? The same thing with the Word of God. Because sometimes through those challenges is how we grow in our faith in overcoming things that are going to be coming down the road. If we only eat the M&Ms, that's just calories, right? And we need that to survive. But we also need the protein. We also need those other ingredients. And that's God's word. He's saying, you know what? There's sweet stuff in there, but yes, there's some challenging things in there. Amen? There's something I came across, a saying that says, when individuals selectively choose what to believe, they effectively create their own version of faith rather than accepting God's revealed truth. Think about that. How many of us know people who pick and choose or whatever, and then they start going, well, I don't believe that. I'm a Christ follower, but I don't believe that. You know, I want to believe this. Or that's not for me, you know, because I'm awesome. That's for somebody else. And that's how a lot of religions start, is that they start picking and choosing what they want. They start cutting out God's word. And there's some that even take out scripture from God's word. to make their own word, to make their own faith, because they want something that's going to tickle their ears. They want something that just talks to them and that they're going to agree with. And that's not how the world, that's not how the world or life works, right? Because when we do that, we totally misunderstand God's character and will. We don't get that full picture when we start doing that, right? So it's like if you have a partner, you don't just cut out going, well, I don't like this about them, but I like this. You can't cut them up, right? That'd be murder, right? You don't want to do that. So what you do is you accept the person as they are. Thanks, Mike, for laughing. I appreciate that. A tough crowd today. Hey. But we appreciate the whole person, right? And we get to understand. We get to figure out how we're going to live together and how we're going to treat each other, how we're going to respect each other. The same thing with God is God's going, you know, read the whole word so you understand who I am in total, not just in pieces. So you might be sitting there going, you know what? I don't have any verses that I cut out, or I don't have any verses that are sweet. I take all of God's word seriously, right? And you might, but there are some that don't. So let's start with the sweet promises. What are some sweet promises in the word? Well, salvation, you know, eternal life. Who doesn't like that one? God's presence and guidance. God will never leave us nor forsake us. Yeah, that's a good one. You know, that's probably one of your sweet verses. How about forgiveness and restoration? You know, confessing our sins and knowing that God will forgive us. Provision. Everybody wants that one, that God will supply our every need. Am I on, right? You guys follow me? That's pretty good. You know, peace. Everybody wants peace, especially in a world that has so much chaos and all that. I just want peace. God will give it to you. Hope in a future. Everybody knows this one, that, you know, is that if we ask God, he'll give us the plans and a better hope. How about rest? We're always on the go, right? We need rest. Where do we find that? In him. You know, it says that if you come to me, I'll give you rest. Unfailing love. I have loved you with everlasting love. Everybody wants to be loved. Everybody wants to be cared for. Everybody wants somebody to say, I see you. I see you. I love you. And that's God. He's just going around going, you know what? I know what you need. And how about the last one? Temptation. Victory over temptation. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. He will provide a way to escape that will we endure, help us endure it, right? So that's something that we know that's going to be temptation. How am I going to get through it? How am I going to beat this? How can I get out of that addiction or that relationship or this train of thought or whatever that may be? It's through him, because he's going to give you those things that will help you to get through it. And so how about some of the challenges? There's a couple of challenges out there, like the sword of truth, right? Everybody likes a good sword, but not a sword that cuts down deep into your soul, right? You know, nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Okay, that sounds kind of creepy. I don't want that. I don't want that sword. You know, I want a better sword, right? How about the only way to God is the only one way to God? That doesn't sound very inclusive. That sounds like, you know, pretty mean. I mean, there's only one way. Now, what kind of God is that? I want multiple ways. I want different ways to get there. I want options, all right? Right? Okay, you guys are like going, no, I don't think so. But that's the right one, right? That's challenging for some people, especially nowadays where everything's accepted. How about love your enemies? Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. If someone slaps you in the cheek, turn the other cheek. No, I want revenge. I want to hit back. I want to give somebody a black eye. Jesus is going, no, that's not what I want. I want you to love them. Okay, I'm not going to. This is another one I don't want, all right? Ugh. Can't serve God and money. Ooh, that means I can't be rich. You know, that means I can't do things. That means I can't that means I can't have money, because that's the root of all evil, right? Right? The love, exactly. It's not the money itself, it's the love. And God say, no, you can have money. use it in the right way, but I don't want that to take the place of loving God, to loving me, right? Someone else kicked that one down the road. How about sexual purity? Do I need to go further? Don't have sex outside of marriage, okay? But some people nowadays, they don't want that. They want to have fun. They want to experiment. They want... I was going to say something. Maybe I shouldn't say it. Okay. but they just want to go and try before they get married. That's not the way to do it. That's not what God's calling us to do. He wants us to live in holiness. And that's a stay from sexual sin. Let me see. Did I skip? Oh, adultery. That's number 7 in the Ten Commandments, right? Probably nobody's going to like that one, right? But there's some others that might. How about carrying your own cross? You mean I have to accept my burdens, my hardships, and sacrifices to follow God? I don't want that either. That's kind of like a downer, right? So maybe I'll put that one to the side because I don't want that one either. The rapture. A lot of people don't believe that in the rapture, that Jesus is going to come back. How is that not exciting? You know, there's people that believe that we're already living in paradise. If this is paradise, okay, there's an issue here, right? But some people don't believe in that. And how about the last one? People don't believe in hell. People don't believe that this God would have been all loving, but yet make hell and send us all there because we sinned. Ooh, right? We don't want that. We want what's good. We want the M&Ms, and that's what we want to do. And maybe we'll add some God's natural candied raisins and go, you know, these are the things I want to chew on, but I don't want this other stuff. And maybe you have different verses. Maybe you have a go-to verse. Maybe you have a verse that you stand on and go, okay, you know what? This is my verse for me, or verses. But I'm sure there's probably other verses that challenge you. There's probably verses out there that you don't agree with. There's probably verses out there that you don't even understand, and you just need to learn about it more. But at first glance, you're going, no, this is not for me. Right? So what we're going to do right now is we're going to take about 10 minutes, and you're going to turn to somebody on the other aisle, and you're going to tell them your deepest secrets of the things that you don't like. Okay? Okay, all right. I'll let that one go. Okay. So I was just kidding. But that would have been a good one, though. Okay, anyways. But we're not going to do that. But I'm sure you have your own ones. How many of you guys already have that challenge of going, okay, you know what, I do that. The one for me that I was kind of thinking was lying, right, is I used to be a liar back in the day. Now it kind of bothers me. But I go, you know what, it's okay to tell white lies or gray lies, whatever you want to tell, right? It's okay. You know, so when Chrissy comes up to me and says, hey, do I look good in this dress? Oh. Yes. Do I look fat? No. Right? Oh, wait. If people see that, and I say she looks better to dress her. Okay, that came out really bad. But anyways, what I'm saying is, look past that. As a husband, sometimes we try to say white lies, right? Or wives. Or I'm really digging myself a hole. Does anybody have like a shovel? All right, you see, so anyways. But women do the same thing too, right? Is where you cook a meal and they go, hey, so did you like it? Yeah, that was really good, right? Or a teenager, you go, hey, what's wrong? Nothing. There's always something wrong. There's always something going on, right? Okay, let's get past that because I'm starting to get like dry mouth. Okay, because that was just horrible. So in my head, it went a lot better than I thought when it actually came out, and that's not a good thing. So that was just going to move. But anyways, so there's things that we struggle with, right? There's always going to be a challenge. There's going to be something that we kind of look at and going, well, you know, it's okay with that. So if you turn with me to Jeremiah 36, we're going to meet a king that was told a prophecy, and he didn't like it very much because it was against him and his people, and he kind of took matters into his own hands. He thought he was all that. He was like, you know what? I know how to overcome this. So due to time constraints, we're not going to read the whole chapter. I was just going to give you the cliff notes so that way you don't have to read it, but I do encourage you to go back and read. But I'm just going to tell you the first couple of verses. So in verse 1 through 3 in Jeremiah 36, we're reading about King Jehoiakim. He was 25 years old when he became king of Judah. This is 4 years into his reign. And God says, you know what? I want you to give King Jehoiakim this prophecy. So because during his reign, he was doing all kinds of bad stuff, right? He was not seen as a very good king. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord. What did it look like? Well, there was idolatry, corruption, oppression, and a disregard for God's law, meaning that they weren't following the Mosaic law that was given to them. He kind of put it to the side and said, you know what? I'm better, right? So God says, no, I want you to write down everything, every prophecy that I've given you from Jehoiakim, who is his dad, who reigned for 30-some-odd years, to now. So what would that look like? How many years is that? Well, it's estimated that was about 22 years of prophecies. 22 years. That took a long time to write. Well, it's estimated it took him about a year to write all those prophecies. And this is what the scroll kind of would have looked like back in the day, is he would have a scribe, and they would write it down, and they'd do it like that, and, you know, kind of fold it. And it was something that they took seriously. It's not just, hey, let me go ahead and Google, go ahead and write this out for me. It wasn't like that. There was no Google in the time. Barak, his scribe, was Google, right? So whatever he said, he wrote it down, and that took about a year. 22 years. So one of the things that I thought was, you have to hand it to Jeremiah. I could barely remember what I ate yesterday. Can you imagine 22 years? Okay, Lord, so you want me to go in order or how I remember them or whatnot? But yet he did it, and he wrote it down. And what was the goal? What was the goal of these prophecies? It was that Judah might hear, repent, and ask for forgiveness for the Lord for how they were living because of the evil things that they were doing as a community. And God said, you know what? Give them this because I'm sure that when they hear it, they're going to repent. When they hear it, it's going to be like the nuts for them. So that way they could come back to me. In verses 4 through 13, Jeremiah is barred from entering the temple to teach. Probably because if you go back to Jeremiah 7, his word that he spoke was not a very good one. It was very in-your-face kind of message. And the temple said, you know what? We don't need that because why? I want the M&Ms. I want something that I want to hear, that I want to agree with. But yet Jeremiah was like, nope, this is what the Lord says. So he dictates the words to a scribe, Barak, and he writes them down and he tells Barak, now you go to the temple and you share this word with the people. Maybe they'll listen to you since I can't go. So while he does that, there's a government official there listening to it, and he's going, oh, this isn't good for the people of Judah. This is not good. So they take Barak into the back room. In 14 and 20, the official summoned Barak, and they said, hey, read the scroll to us privately. Now there's the officials there, and they're going, we're going to listen to this because this doesn't seem right. Looks like you're speaking against the king. That was a no-no back then, right? You don't speak against the king. So Barak goes, all right. So he reads it all, and they're just in awe, going, are you serious? Where did you get this from? Did it really come from Jeremiah? Because Jeremiah had a history of saying the truth of God. His words carried weight. And these guys knew it. And they wanted to make sure, did it really come from Jeremiah? He's like, you know what? He told me, I wrote it down, here it is. So they go, all right, so this is not good for us, so we're going to take it. And I would suggest you and Jeremiah go hide because the king's going to, let's say, kill you, all right? So go hide. Don't tell anybody where you're hiding at, and then we'll get back to you, okay? So this here gets us to a point. We have arrived to our verse for the day, and it sets the stage for the king's infamous response, and that's in 21 through 26, and that's the burning of the scroll. It says, King sent Jehudi, an official of the court, to get the scroll. Jehudi brought brought it from Elishama's room, that's the king's secretary, and read it to the king as all of his officials stood by. It was late autumn, and the king was in a winterized part of the palace, sitting in front of the fire to keep warm. So it's estimated to be about November, December time. Each time Jehuda finished reading three or four columns, the king took a knife and cut off the section of the scroll. He didn't stop there. He then threw it into the fire, section by section, until the whole scroll was burnt up. Okay, let's stop there. That takes a lot of guts, doesn't it? How disrespectful is that? There's disregard of the word. It was like, I don't need this. I'm the king. So it gets worse. Neither the king nor his attendants showed any signs of fear or repentance at what they heard. Ooh. Even when Elnathan, Deliah, and Jemariah begged the king not to burn the scroll, he wouldn't listen. Then the king commanded his son, Jeremiel, Sarai, son of Azrael, and Shelemai, son of Abdiel, I'm not sure if that's correct pronouncing, but I'm just going to roll with it, to arrest Barak and Jeremiah. But then it says that the Lord hid them. Think about that. The boldness of this king, of what he did. And we just talked about this whole thing with the M&Ms or whatnot. This is the exact thing that he was doing. He reads the words going, no, I don't get to hear that, right? Augustine said, if you believe what you like in the gospel and reject what you don't like, it's not the gospel you believe, but yourself. Because we want to make up things that pleases us. And we're even bold enough to say, you know what? I don't need this word. I could cut and paste. I can make a different Bible that's, you know, more loving than this. Who wants to read all this stuff right here? That's dumb. But yet, that's not what God's saying. God's saying, you know what? From book to book, that's my word. And you don't add to it or subtract it. See, historically, these words were profound and authoritative and had a lot of weight. When a prophecy came, like Jeremiah's, they would write it down to preserve the word of God. This ensured that the message would either change or lost, but that people would have it before them, that they would be able to get to them. But yet, what happens is that the king thought he was more than he was, and he went against the prophecy that Jeremiah came. So his intention wasn't to hear and receive. Remember what the goal was? For them to repent and to ask forgiveness? This is total opposite. So his attempt was to stop or impede the message of God from ever happening. How did he do that? You know what? I'm going to accomplish this by just getting rid of it. You see, words carried a lot of weight back then. If it was written, it was law, especially from a prophet. And he's going, you know what? If it doesn't exist, sorry. I don't have to be held accountable. Isn't that crazy? So he burns it. He cuts it and burns it. In those short verses, we see a prideful king. We see his actions symbolize the deliberate rejection of God's message. It's kind of like those who hear the word and go, throw it to the side. But while highlighting the tendency of being selective and accepting only what he wants, he wanted to reshape. He wanted to eliminate. He wanted to take things into his own hands. Jehoiakim's officials' reaction in verse 24 tells us that they fell short in how they should have responded. They showed no fear. They showed no care about what the word said. It was like, whatever. And that fell short from the reaction of Jehoiakim's dad, Josiah, where it says in 2 Kings 22, where they found the word, if you read it. One of the king's priests goes into the temple of the Lord, and there's all kinds of shenanigans going on in there. And he goes in, he's cleaning things out, and he finds the word, the law, in the corner somewhere collecting dust. And he reads, he's like, oh, I got to tell the king. I got to read the king this. So he takes it back, and after some discussion, and finally they get to the king, and Josiah says, yeah, go ahead and read it to me. And he reads it, and as he's listening, it starts to really impact him in his heart. And he's going, no, are you serious? Now, this is a king that said that he did good in the eyes of the Lord, that he never veered from the left or to the right. So we're talking about a righteous king, somebody who held value in the word of God, in the law. And when this was presented to him, he was flabbergasted, going, are you kidding me? We're not following the law of the Lord? And what does he do? He tore his clothes in despair, for he knew that he wasn't serving the God how he should. He knew that his people were sinning. He knows that the people were falling short of what God expected. And he came humbled, and he repented. Totally contrary to what his son Jehoiakim did, right? Totally the opposite. And it's also the opposite from that of Jesus, which highlights the difference between a self-serving worldly king and Jehoiakim, but also it contrasts who Jesus was, who was humble, obedient, a servant king who came to serve the world. Jehoiakim was all about his power and how he could manipulate things to make him look better. Contrast to, and with that, it ruined a nation because he was so stubborn. And the prophecy was against him. But yet with Jesus, he humbled himself and he served. And what did he do? He brought humanity salvation. It wasn't just about a country, a nation. It was about a people in whole. So the contrast there is in full display of how pride could take over to really listening to the word of God. So as we move on, it's been said, it's not how much of the Bible you know, it's how you live and obey it. It's how you live and obey it. See, a lot of times we come to church and we want people to teach us how to read the word, or we expect people just to read us the word. We come and we kind of just sit there and going, okay, you know what? I have to trust the pastor. I'm sure, you know, they know what they're talking about. I'm good. All right. I don't need to read anything. And then we leave and we forget everything. And we leave and we don't act out what God wants us to do, what he wants us, how he wants us to live. See, following and reading the word of God is not just about head knowledge, but it's about a heart transformation. Amen? Thank you. In First James. Yeah, turn to First James. In James 1:22, it says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. But then today, as I was going through it, I'll just keep going. For if you listen to the world and obey, it's like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself walk away and you forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says, don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Kind of helped me today when I read it was, I need to be careful that when I read the word, it's not just to mark off that I did my devotion. I need to take time and go, okay, so what did I just read? How is that going to help me? How is it going to help me grow? How is that going to help me to live my day better? It's making sure that we're moving forward and doing what the Lord says. See, by embracing the fullness of God's word, we can discover who God is, and we can grow in our faith, and we can grow in our relationship of who he is. And that's the main goal. That's what God wants us to do. That's why he gave us this love letter, is for us to make sure that we are drawing closer to him. And only by drawing closer is by reading everything and taking everything that what he says as truth. It's not about picking out the good stuff and leaving the other stuff behind. So you guys good? All right, good deal, because we're almost done. So as we move, actually we're almost done. So, short message today. I know you guys wanted to go to eat lunch or whatnot. And sometimes messages don't have to be long, right? Sometimes messages are short, they're simple, but they're powerful. And I don't know how this hit you today, but it hit me hard. Because sometimes I get into a routine where I'm just reading the word and I move on. And I felt God convict me about that. Say, you know what? You need to continue to study. You need to continue to press in. You need to continue to be curious. Don't let somebody else read the word for you. Be curious about it. Get to know me. Find out more about me. Make your faith personal. Not because of what somebody said, but because of what you've read and what you've gotten out of this. And that's something that King Jehoiakim failed to do. He allowed his own pride. He allowed his own hunger for power to dictate how he's going to read the law. If he would have responded like his father did, Josiah, God probably would have forgiven him. But guess what? If you read the rest of the story, God doubles down. He's like, Jeremiah, what I want you to do, rewrite the scroll. But God, that took a year. I don't care. Rewrite it. Okay. And I tell you what, Josiah, you're not done. Because I'm going to add more. And that was the fall of Jehoiakim and his family and anybody related to him. Anybody whose last name ended with Kim, right? He's like, you know what? We're going to get rid of him. And that's the danger of taking things into your own hands, is that then we become gods. We become, it's about my faith. It becomes about what I want to hear. And God's saying no. So don't fall into that. So as we close, I know it's a weird comparison. The word is not trail mix, but in some ways it is. In some ways, we do pick out the M&Ms. But it's always remembering when we come and we read our word, it's come with an open heart, with an open mind, with an open spirit, of allowing this to work in us to help us live our lives. Because if we don't, guess what? When you go out there in the world, they're going to tell you how to live. They're going to tell you what you should do. They're going to tell you what you want. And that's a dangerous place to be. So if you have ears to hear, hear that. So reflection for today, what are some of the topics or scriptures that challenge you the most? And how are you learning to accept those truths? Are you wrestling with them? Are you understanding them? Amen? Amen. So Lord Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Thank you for this word. It's kind of a heavy word, at least for me it was, just trying to understand it, trying to apply it, Lord God. And Father, I pray that this word that you've given me, this word that you've shown me, has landed on good ears, Lord. I pray, Lord Father, that we don't shut out thinking, hey, you know what, I got it all together, I don't do that, check, and move on. But that we could take our time in reading and understanding and allowing us to draw closer to you, because that's really what the main thing is here, Lord, is that we could come in humbleness, that we could be repentive. If there's anything that we did, we can ask for forgiveness. And that ultimately we get to draw closer to you in a relationship that you want with us. We're the ones that push you away. You don't ever push us away. We're the ones that push you away. We're the ones that put our hand out from keeping to get closer. But yet, you're pursuing us. And I thank you for that. Lord God, you're a wonderful God. I love you. And thank you for all you've done. And I pray that I don't take your word for granted. And I pray that I don't take you for granted, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.